From the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Got that out. Randy Bergen is on assignment.
He's on assignment. Yes, sir.
And I can't hear Mark. I can't hear me, which is probably better, but he's in North Alabama running some kind of golf tournament. I don't know. I didn't know he was into running the golf tournaments, too, or sponsoring the golf tournaments.
The guy can do anything, guys.
I guess.
I mean, he can.
I guess. A man's talented, multi-talented. And so we'll just have to kind of read lips here for a while.
We'll get it.
That's okay. A lot of things going on in the spring, Mark. We just had all the state tennis tournaments are now complete. And when you talk about that's a lots and lots of tennis. And there's no better place in the state of Alabama to host state tennis tournament than the Mobile Tennis Center. And, you know, those guys, Scott Novak and those guys, do such a great job having everything right there at your fingertips. It's kind of like running any other kind of tournament. You've got to have certain things just to make sure everybody is happy. I mean, you can't please everybody
and
all the
time. You're still not going to.
No, but they come mighty close to
it. You try as
it.
Hard as you can. Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And it's, you know, it's kind of the dawning of a new day waiting to happen. Marty Smith, he and his daughter have run tennis tournaments all over the state of Alabama for the Alabama High School Athletic Association, announced that this was his final tournament to run. And he's now the head basketball coach at Sylacauga and does a great job there. And you folks in Sylacauga just don't know how blessed you are to have a man of Marty Smith's capabilities, because he is special, let me tell you this. And so he just did a tremendous job. He ran the 6A tournament. He also assisted his daughter when running the 4A, 5A tournament. Such a tremendous, tremendous person to have running our tournaments, and to see him step away is a tough time for us. How you doing, Mark?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, brother.
Man, I don't even – Randy's so good at this. He knows how to bring everybody in and out. And so we just
he's kind of professional, man.
We're kind of hem-hawing it here.
That's all right.
Talk a little bit about where you are with golf now. We're getting close to sub-state and stuff like that.
Sectional start Monday all over the state. It's a lot like tennis. You know how you guys do. Everybody basically goes to sectionals on a certain time and then go to state after that. Well, golf goes through three steps. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later with Assistant Director Jeff Seegers from the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He's going to tell us all the things that are going on in the spring and how those guys keep up with all those names, numbers, figures, winners, and officials. It's a daunting task if you start thinking about how many different groups. But we're going to talk about that some. But golf, we start our 4A section. We'll go to Dothan Country Club, where Kevin Klein will be putting on the tournament there at the Dothan Country Club. They do a great job. We've already got tee sheets are already out. And you have to, today you got to send in your GIN report and your index handicap index. Get all that stuff sent in. So you get all that done, and you just pray that when you had your – it had to be in last Monday. And so you just hope between now and this Monday, nobody gets sick. Nobody has to withdraw, because then you got to change the T-sheets. And so it's a tough time for those directors, but it's going on all over the state. Some sections will be on Monday and some on Tuesday, boys and girls,
right,
at different locations throughout the state. And there's a lot of good, really good golf teams down in our area that are going to play in the sectional tournament. After that, the next week will be sub-state tournament.
Right.
And we'll be playing. Our 4A sub-state will be at Glen Lakes with our buddy David Musial. who's putting it on, and we'll go down there and play that tournament on the Dunes and the Vista courses. And we look forward to that. And David's such a wonderful host that he, you know, gets everybody there and puts everybody together. And it'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, that's just 4A. That's just 4A. And so out of each of these sections, there could be, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams coming in for section tournaments all over the state of Alabama. And so they're going to be an exciting few days,
yeah,
you know, figuring out who's going to the next round.
Now, I appreciate you mentioning David Musial. We spend a lot of time, our golf group, playing down there. And you're talking about just such a great host. And, boy, we love playing that course. That front nine, the dunes
will get
can
you.
Bite you.
It
can bite you real
it's
quick.
It's a tough little course. It's a lot of fun. Those guys are so hospitable. We went down to play the other day. And I came up, and I had my cart, and a guy says, "Coach, here's," and he just got this huge bucket of balls for our team, and we just took it out there, and the kids got to hit, and they just, and even there was some guys playing who, and I would say I could have played with those guys, me personally, who were in front of us.
You stepping out, Mark.
I'm just telling you, I watched them hit two or three balls. I can compete with that group. Who would have broke 100? That's what, but they were kind of slow.
Well, we're going to put you on our T-sheet then.
No. I'll stay away from y'all. I'd never hear the end of it. Mark, can you see over the tee box? You know, I'd never hear the end of it. But seriously, though, they had their marshal out, and he kind of went and said, "Guys, we got a big tournament behind y'all. Can y'all speed it up a little bit?" Because they were just having a good time, you know.
Yeah.
And so just wonderful folks at Glen Lakes, and we appreciate them very much.
Good people.
Yeah, they are.
Good people. Kind of what we got today is we're going to spend some time talking to a couple of guests, and one of them, of course, with the AHSAA. And then, Mark, you've done a tremendous job this week getting this show together, and thank you for doing that. I've been kind of incapacitated spending time in Alabaster all week with my mom. And thank you for all the work you've done on this. But we want to go down these tennis winners, and there's some real significant ones here in the Mobile area that really had great tournaments. And I really want to say congratulations to Meredy Jones. Meredy, I think that's about 16 state championships that Meredy and UMS girls have won. And so, so very proud of Meredy. As a matter of fact, we're going to try to do a show. We're going to tape a show one Thursday maybe, and get Meredy on.
That'd be
and
fantastic. That's
just give you a chance to spend some time with her, because she thinks so highly of you, and I know how you feel about her. So we're going to do that, but we do want to congratulate her. We want to congratulate Ella Bentley from St. Luke's. She was the singles champion, the number one singles champion in the 1A, 3A. Tremendous, tremendous job by Ella Bentley, and congratulations to that young lady. You know, a young lady at St. Paul's just had a tremendous 6A state tournament. Her name is Emma Jane Jane Hamilton. She defeated Pippa Roy. Now, Pippa Roy is at Mountain Brook, the number one player at Mountain Brook. Emma Jane defeated her in the semifinals, and that stopped a 35-match win streak for Pippa.
Good
Pippa
gracious.
Is a heck of a tennis player, plays for our friend Susan Farlow there at Mountain Brook, who, by the way, Mountain Brook has moved, you know, they're in 6A
now. Right.
They won the boys and the girls 6A state championships. Congratulations to Susan Farlow. But Emma Jane Hamilton is the number one singles champion from St. Paul's, plays for Jill Bulow there. And after defeating Pippa Roy, she defeated Jaden Martin from Madison Academy to be the number one singles champion there. And the team, the St. Paul's girls team, finished second to Mountain Brook by 3 points.
Wow.
And so
that's a great tournament.
It really was. 72-69. So congratulations to them. Some other teams that fared well. We have a winner, the girls in 4A, 5A, Meredy Jones, as we talked about earlier. They were state champions. St. Paul's girls were runner-up with a number one singles champion. The St. Paul's boys under Austin Johnson finished 7th in 6A. McGill's boys finished 9th. Spanish Fort's boys in 6A finished 3rd. And in the 6A girls, the McGill-Tulin Yellow Jacket girls finished fifth. So congratulations to all those local teams.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll just mix it up, talk a little bit about what's going on around the state of Alabama right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut.
It's your big day too, pal.
It's like a dream come true.
You do not want to interrupt Stevie Dan.
No, sir.
And so we will let their day play out. But welcome back to Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And, there's a lot of baseball going on, but there's probably no better series in the state of Alabama than what took place yesterday over at the I want to call it just an amazing, amazing facility. I just don't have the correct vocab to describe the facilities at Sarah Lynn. What a great facility they've got over there. And, their superintendent moved on to Coastal Alabama as chancellor or the president of Coastal Alabama. Now they've got a new superintendent. What a great job Adam did there while as the superintendent, and had just a tremendous, tremendous facility. And as I look at the article that's been written this morning for AL.com, a familiar name from years gone by. We used to call it a blast from the past. Jimmy Wigfield. You're talking about a guy that covered sports here in Mobile for years and years and years and just did a fabulous job. Jimmy Wigfield covered the Spanish Fort Sarah Lynn series. And Tommy Walker at Spanish Fort and Brett Boutwell at Sarah Lynn, two really outstanding coaches, and had a series yesterday in the second round of the state playoffs, and Spanish Fort was able to win that series in two games, 2-1 and 3-1 in the nightcap. I got a chance as we got in from Birmingham to watch a little bit of that series on the National Federation Network. And, boy, there was a lot of rock rattling in the crowd. And, they were having some fun. But to watch two really outstanding coaches and the way they got through those tight games is really fun to watch.
And they do it. They do such a good job. Both of those schools
just
do a fantastic job in their baseball program. They for years they've been in the hunt every year. It comes down, you see these two face each other during a regular season, and then – when it gets playoff time, they're always somehow, some way, the state championship has got to travel through either Spanish Fort or Sarah Lynn in some way, shape, or form. It's got to get through there before it moves on. And I just want to commend both of those programs for the job that they do year in and year out.
And we talk a lot about Jeff Haig here over at Bayshore. Well, those guys go to Skipperville, which is a tough place
Man,
to play.
I'm just telling you, that is not an easy place to go. Kevin Rayleigh can tell you all about it.
He can tell you all about that place. And Bayshore goes down to Skipperville and defeats G.W. Long. And I'm going to tell you, that is a mountain of a hill to climb.
The greatest thing in that story, and if I'm not mistaken, they hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the seventh, is
Jack Malone?
Yes.
Yeah.
He played in Bayshore's very first football game back in the fall.
Yeah.
And unfortunately got an injury.
He broke his leg.
Broke his leg and had to have just a really difficult surgery. Yeah. They did all kinds of stuff. But when I talked to Coach Haig about it a couple weeks ago, he said this young man has worked his fanny off in rehab to get ready to go for baseball season, and he's just at first of the season he was kind of gingerly on it, and then of course last night he hits the walk-off dinger to send him to the next round to sweep G.W. Long, which I'm telling you, that does just not happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
And so congratulations to Bayshore and Jeff Haig and your baseball program. And, man, and that's what I love about baseball. You know, here's a kid. This boy, Jack Malone, has never played football.
Yeah.
Never played in his life.
Yeah.
He says, I read an article on it. He said, I'm kind of a big guy and thought I could play a little bit. Yeah. So I went out and played. And Coach Haig, you know, he's like, heck yeah, get out there and play. Yeah. You know, we love those two-sport athletes here at Bay. We got to have you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So he went out there and did it. Yeah, he got hurt, but guess what? He came back. He's fine. Hits the dinger. Wins the game. It's a competitive edge. I'm telling you, when you play multiple sports, it really helps your program. It helps your guys get competitive year-round. Doesn't have to be in baseball.
Yeah.
It can be in, I don't care what it is, basketball, cross-country, compete. Go compete so you know how it is to compete in big ball games like last night.
No doubt about that. Not far down the road from Bayside is Fairhope. Fairhope goes and defeats Mary Montgomery yesterday 10-1, 8-2 in the first round of the 7A. We're just in the first round of 7A because we don't have as many schools. So congratulations to them. Nolan Phillips homered in both games.
Sure did.
Really proud of Miles Drew Johnson, who went the distance for the win. Of course, his dad was a high school player there at Fairhope High School, and really proud of Mr. Johnson. So, you know, when you talk high school baseball, there's not too many places better than the Gulf Coast to watch high school baseball. Auburn defeated Enterprise yesterday 3-1 and 7-0. You know, interesting thing about Auburn, their head baseball coach is retiring after this year, and boy, what a great job he has done there. We're going to talk a little bit more about him a little bit later on in the show, so I'll hold off on that. Central of Phenix City defeated Prattville 3-1 and 7-1, and at one time, Central of Phenix City was the number one team in the nation. So congratulations to those guys there up in the northern part of the state. James Clemens defeated Grissom 7-6 and 8-6. A lot of listeners around here from the Huntsville area. I get texts all the time saying, Coach, can you update us on what's going on around Huntsville? Here, Baker defeated Daphne 3-1 and 7-1. Boy, I'm telling you, Tyler Minto has had a great year there, and so proud of the job that he's done there. Bob Jones defeated Sparkman up in the north 4-2 and 4-0. I don't think there's too many more scores as we go through that. And 6A Baldwin County beat Hueytown 3-2 and 16-0. Boy, that's a big win for them, Mark. Big win to beat Hueytown. Mountain Brook defeated Mortimer Jordan 12-2 and 5-4. And 6A baseball, Coach Booth at Hartsell just keeps on winning. They defeated Pell City 14-4. And then lost the second game 3-1. So that will mean that they'll have the IF game be played today, and I'm sure that game will be played at 2 o'clock today. So that's that's big, because Pell City splits with Hartsell. That is big, big, big.
It is.
So I don't see a whole lot more scores in 5A. Valley defeated St. Paul's in the first game, 7-1, came back and won the second game. St. Paul's did 2-1. Tallahassee defeated Gulf Shores in the first game, 5-1. Gulf Shores came back and won the second game, 8-2. In Class 4A, American Christian defeated Satsuma 9-0 and 3-0. Bibb County defeated Mumford 8-3 and 12-2. And in 2A, of course, Bayshore Christian won a doubleheader there, 7-1 and 5-4. So congratulations to all those baseball teams. I do want to say this, Mark, and we're going to get to what you got to say in just a minute about one of our favorite people. But happy birthday to our granddaughter, Hadley.
That's awesome.
1 year old today, and they're having a huge birthday celebration.
Absolutely.
Papa can't be there, but wanted to wish Hadley a happy, happy birthday.
I want to take a second to ask all of our listeners, if you would, to remember a friend of mine and a friend of ours, a friend of this show, friend of Alma Bryant High School, Randy Collins Sr., is really struggling with some health issues. And the man did a lot for Alma Bryant High School. When I first came there, one of the first people Ed Latham introduced me to was Big Randy. And Brother, we're praying for you. We wish you the best. Hope you get well soon. I look forward to seeing you real soon, buddy.
Amen to that. And by the way, made a bad mistake. Jack Malone, who's a junior, pitched and hit for Bayshore. He broke his foot in football season, not his leg. My bad on that.
Gotcha.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turn and face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling
all right.
In the air all right.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports. You know, I hate to interrupt Kenny Chesney. Absolutely.
I love that song.
I do too, buddy. Especially during football season. It's just he does such a wonderful job and is such a lover of high school sports. You know, we always love to have Amy Cockrell on. Amy is the executive director of the Hearts for Athletes. And, you know, Mark, of course, you live this. You know how important taking care of our heart is, and it's we're seeing it more and more and more in high school, college, and really every level of sports. We at times they kind of highlight this when we have young people that have some condition that they're they've had to sit out or they've had to stop playing. And Amy and her people there at the Heart for Athletes have just done an amazing, amazing job. And we love having Amy on. And I want to welcome Amy to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report this morning. Amy, thank you for taking time out of a busy Saturday morning to spend with us here at Prep Sports Report. And thank you for what you and your team do for so many. And so many people just aren't aware of all the things that you folks are doing. And thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, you helping us spread the word about this.
Amy, it's so good to hear your voice. I hadn't got a chance to talk to you in a while. But I did want to just I've been thinking about you quite a bit and want to get you on the show to kind of give us an update on what you guys got going. I know I had seen something about some clinics that you're going to be putting on, some screenings coming up. And I think over in Mobile in June, is that what I read? You're going to have us?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell us all about it.
Yeah, we're really excited. We've kind of taken a break for a few months from screening events. We're trying to revamp our registration process and make it easier. We have a small screening event to test that registration process. It'll be open to the public on May the 20th. It'll be in Spanish Fork. And then on June the 7th, we're doing a large community-wide screening event for all the Mobile County public schools. That's in conjunction with USA Health. They're providing health sports physicals for the kids that day, and then we are doing a separate park screening for them.
Where will that screening take place again?
So the one that's open to the public on May the 20th will be at Clear's Clinic in Spanish Fork, and I'll have a registration link open real soon. I'm finalizing all the new process that's in place right now. And then the one for the Mobile County Public Schools will be at the Mitchell Center on the USA campus on June the 7th.
On June the 7th. Okay. Now, if people want to get involved in this, people can go on Facebook and find out. Are there other places they can go to find out how to sign up? How can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. I have a contact page on my website. It's heartforathletes.org. And I also, have a presence on Facebook, and you can message us through there.
You know, Amy, I think one of the things when we do physicals, and we have done physicals for so many years, we don't go in depth like we have been going lately. I mean, with Hearts for Athletes, kind of go into what all you folks do that is maybe not done in just a normal physical at a high school?
So we found that a simple EKG can predict many electrical abnormalities in the heart. When you hear about athletes dying from sudden cardiac arrest, they have an electrical abnormality. It can be structural or, an actual electrical problem within the heart. And you can't see that problem unless you do an EKG. And so when we do a screening event, we typically find that 1 in 300 kids is at risk for sudden cardiac arrest, and they have no idea that they are. So if we can identify these kids before sudden cardiac arrest happens, of course, their chance of survival is way better, because if you have a sudden cardiac arrest, your chance of survival is only 10%. So if we can identify these kids and fix their problem, we can save lives.
Amy, tell
and
us.
Also,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
yeah, I was just going to say we're also emphasizing a lot these days just for schools to be prepared for sudden cardiac arrest if something happens on a campus. And, that's another piece of the work that we do to provide AEDs and that kind of thing in the community.
There's also a place that folks can go to your website, I think, and sign up for donations to help. And it has the amount and what it's there for. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So a typical screening event costs $20 to $25 for us to provide. We have been able to provide these free for people in our community, and we're very proud of that. But we, need donations to be able to keep doing this. And, of course, AEDs are expensive, and the training that's involved in CPR, knowing what to do and the preparedness. And so it costs a lot of money to get this. Keep this program going, so any donations are greatly appreciated.
And you can go to your website and find those. It just tells you right there on heartforathletes.org, and it can tell you how to donate for whatever you might be interested in. Amy, give us a quick synopsis, for your public, when open to the public screening. What can people expect when they come? How long will it take them? Just kind of what goes on when they come through that screening in a nutshell.
At all of our screening events, it takes about 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the number of kids we have show up. But we have nurses from the community. Typically, we have a lot of medical students, physical therapy students, a lot of volunteers who are actually doing the screenings. We have a pediatric cardiologist on site at all of our events who reads the EKGs there at the event. We do CPR and AED hands-on training demonstrations to get the kids, aware. A lot of people have had CPR training, but not everyone's been able to practice with an AED. And we make sure that people know what to do in case of emergency and, know the warning signs. So we get all that done in about 30 to 40 minutes.
That's a wonderful, folks, if y'all don't know about this, you need to look into it. I've seen it in action. I saw it happen. And it is a wonderful way to help protect kids in your schools. Also, one of the things that, Amy, you and I have talked about on numerous occasions is the lack of AEDs that are in schools and other public places. Tell us about what we can do to help get AEDs in these schools. And is there a way we can go about doing that through Heart for Athletes?
We have found that a lot of schools in the area have AEDs, but the problem is that they're just not accessible. So we've had a big push lately to connect people with resources to provide the guidance to make people understand how we can make our schools and parks and recreational centers safer for cardiac arrest, because we have to make sure that there's signage in place, that the AEDs, the batteries are working, the pads are up to date, and they're ready to use if an emergency happens. Because you need to act quickly. For every minute that passes after a sudden cardiac arrest happens, the person's chance of survival goes down by 10%. So you can't just wait for 911. Some people think that my plan is to call 911, but you can't. You've got to have bystanders take action and get involved. We had a recent save at Sarah Land High School that we're so happy about. They followed all these protocols, were ready for a cardiac emergency, and a parent was in the stands at a game last November, and she collapsed in cardiac arrest, and they knew what to do. They had a practiced and prepared plan in place. They had the AED to her side within a couple of minutes, and she was shocked and awake and alert when the paramedics arrived. And that's the kind of story that we want, you know, going around in our community, because one in every 25 high schools can expect a sudden cardiac arrest event to happen each year. So this doesn't just protect our kids, it's protecting parents and visitors and faculty and everybody at the schools also.
You know, I do remember, Rick, when after I had my cardiac arrest, that after that, the long-term effects were the entire school got CPR training.
Yeah.
Teachers,
yeah.
Kids, everybody. Yeah. And this is what Amy's trying to get through to all of our folks, is to really get this pushed out there. Amy, we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you spending some time with us today. It's so great to hear you. And we'll get back with you again before your event's coming up, and make sure we push that out so people know where to go.
Thank you so much for all of your support through the years. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks a bunch. That's Amy Cockrell, the Executive Director of Hearts for Athletes and Coaches. If you don't know Amy, you need to get to know her, especially you head coaches and athletic directors. 1 in 300 of our athletes are diagnosed with sudden cardiac arrest symptoms. And so that's a telling story. We need to be on top of that. A couple of additions I need to make. You know, it's amazing. People in Birmingham, don't let us miss a beat. I love that about our listeners up there. In 7A tennis, the Vestavia boys and girls were state champions.
That's
congratulations
right.
to them, and thank you for that text message. Also, it's always good to hear from a friend of our Eddie Boyette over in Fairhope. He said, wanted to point out that Will Sparks pitched the second game for Fairhope, 6 2/3 innings, 12 Ks. Congratulations to Will and to the Fairhope Pirates on a big win over Mary Montgomery. And you're talking about two really outstanding teams.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, you take a Barry Hightower team and sweep them in a doubleheader,
you've got
a pretty good baseball program going.
Hey,
you're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. When we return, we'll spread it out a little bit more and give you a little bit about leadership. That's really, really exciting. You want to hear this next one.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
You know, I think sometimes we take for granted some of the people that preceded us. And when you think about the great people that laid the foundation for our country, and you think about leadership, if you've never heard the man in the arena, we want to share that with you this morning. And, you know, what does it mean to be in the arena? Well, what this really means is taking risk and making tough calls and trying something new and taking a leap of faith and doing something scary or uncomfortable to be beneficial to your life. And sometimes it means failing. The man in the arena. I hope you enjoy it.
The poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer. There are many men who feel a kind of twisted pride and cynicism. There are many who confine themselves to criticism of the way others do what they themselves dare not even attempt. There is no more unhealthy being, no man less worthy of respect, than he who either really holds or feigns to hold an attitude of sneering disbelief toward all that is great and lofty, whether in achievement or in that noble effort which, even if it fails, comes to second achievement. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly? So that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
That's
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
In 1910 in Paris, France.
You know, Mark, I heard a coach one time say, and I was sitting right next to him when he said it, and there was a parent criticizing a coach at a basketball game at the old Fair Park Arena. He was an African-American man who I was sitting next to, who was a coach, and there was a daddy who was being very critical of a coach. And this wise man, whose name was Cap Brown, by the way, great, great coach at Parker High School in Birmingham. And we were sitting there watching Carver of Birmingham play a team out of Huntsville. And this man of wisdom looked at that daddy and said, "You shouldn't be critical of a man unless you walk a mile in that man's shoes." And boy, that stuck with me. And this man in the arena hits home with that, because the credit does belong to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is sometimes marred by dust and sweat and blood, and who tries valiantly to be the best he can be. And sometimes he fails.
He fails.
That's right. And Coach Brown made it very clear, if you can do a better job, I know where you can have a job. You can have mine, because I fail every single day. And somehow we find a way to overcome our failures. Teddy Roosevelt said it mighty, mighty well.
He did.
Mighty well.
You know, I remember – this has been a long time ago. This has never, I've never left me. We were playing baseball. I was a senior in high school. We were playing baseball at Scottsboro. Now, I wasn't a great baseball player. I wasn't even a good baseball player. But I was out there. And I was playing second base. And there's another guy we were competing with that, he was a good baseball player, too. He really was, too. Now, he was a better baseball player than me, but he had gotten himself injured. And I had taken his place. And I was playing okay. Anyway, we had gone to Scottsboro, and we beat them pretty good. That was Don Jacobs.
I was fixing to say Don Jacobs had to be on that field.
He was.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're playing, and left field at Scottsboro is a short field.
Yeah.
It was. Well, we had two guys hit a couple bombs for home runs, okay? Well, I came up in the bottom of the sixth inning to bat, and I hit a ball. Hit it good for me now, and it went over the left field fence for a home run. Only home run ever hit in my life. And so – I was so ecstatic that I had hit a home run. Of course, when I got home, told my parents, they didn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, I said, "Oh, quit lying, Mark." You know, anyway, so, but after the game, I went to get something to drink out of the concession stand or something, and a couple of guys around. Well, that boy's daddy, who I was competing with for that job, was over there, and I heard him say, he said, "Well, those first two home runs, those were blast. But I'm going to tell you something, Mark, that ball you hit wasn't that more than a fly ball." Well, I'm going to tell you something. It just broke my heart.
Yeah.
You know, somebody would say that to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, guy, you know, why would you say that to a kid.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? There's no place for that. There's no place. You know, if you know so much about it, be a coach. You know, go get your own team. Do it your way. It's fine. But don't, unless you're going to get in the arena, don't stand out there and start hollering and sneering, as Teddy Roosevelt's word was, sneering.
Sneering.
You know, don't sneer. Get out there and do it yourself. And otherwise, just be supportive of coaches and kids and what they do. That's what this show's about. Our show's about being positive. And our leadership point for the day is, if you're not in the arena, don't sneer.
Amen. Amen. Happy birthday, Hadley.
Happy
over
birthday,
in Cumming, Georgia.
Awesome.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Yeah, that's the Doobie Brothers.
They're not bad.
No, they're not bad, and they're part of the PSR official rotation group. So
they're still getting royalties from us?
No, they get all kind of royalties. I don't know. Maybe a nickel and dime out of your pocket. They gotten a lot of nickels and dimes out of my pocket by going to see them as many times as we've seen them.
Well, back when I was young, I bought their 8-track. Nobody knows what an 8-track is.
Steve Stanley standing firm on that. So we're good. You know, we're always happy to get representatives from the Alabama High School Athletic Association staff, and Jeff Seegers, of course, you folks in Vestavia. Thank the people in Vestavia for sending me that correction this morning. You know, this thing goes all over the Southeast, and when you stream, if you make a mistake, you better be ready to correct
That's
it.
Right.
And we thank the folks in Vestavia that helped us correct Vestavia winning the boys and girls 7A state tennis tournament. Jeff Seeger spent a lot of time there at Vestavia, and Jeff is the assistant director of the AHSAA and does a wonderful job. And Jeff, good morning and welcome to Prep Sports Report. Hope everything is well for you, pal.
It is. I'm glad they corrected you. I know Timory Fisk, the girls coach there, and Oliver Aaron, the boys coach, I was super proud of them, as we are all our coaches across the state of Alabama and what they do.
Yeah, we used to have lots and lots and lots of head-on collisions with Nancy Becker when she was there. And
She was a good one. Hall of Fame coach.
She is a Hall of Fame coach. And the next Hall of Fame coach we need to get in there is, I tell everybody this, you know, the winningest coach in most all of our sports, whoever that coach is in the Hall of Fame. The winningest girls coach in the history of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame, Meredy Jones from UMS Wright, is not in the Hall of Fame. And there's ways that we need to get her in there. And so, you know, and I know that's the schools that need to recommend her. Jeff, what I wanted to talk to you about today was we're overcrowded in spring sports.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, as being having to kind of run a lot of the track stuff and being the representative there that has to hear all the fussing and moaning and groaning and all of that, we got to do something about this overcrowding. And I've always said that golf and tennis need to be in the fall.
Yeah.
Talk just a little bit about any, and I know there's certain things that you can and can't say.
Yeah.
Savarese has always kept me posted, Mark and I posted on that, and we love Steve. But, you know, it's just an overcrowded segment. I mean, we just got too much in the spring.
And I agree with you. As a former athletic director, when I was the athletic director of Vestavia, usually right around the beginning of February, I'd sit down with my wife with a calendar and say, look, for the next 8 to 12 weeks, I won't be home before 10 o'clock.
That's
just the truth. So haven't heard as much tennis every year or so. So we have the Alabama High School Athletic Association is a rule-enforcing body, not a rule-making body. And
right.
We enforce the rules. And our central board of control has control of championship play. Now, for the past about every other year for the past 10 years or so, there's always been a survey put in during our proposal process about moving golf to the fall. And I'll be honest with you, on that survey, our member schools consistently vote against it. I mean, it needs to be a ground roots movement to get it to the fall, to then for the central board to say, hey, this is what our member schools want to do, and we need to look and we need to move it. But that needs to come from the schools.
Right.
It is for us in the springtime, you know, everybody says football season, football season, football season. Football season is easy.
Easy.
Yeah. Football season is easy. You know, you've got volleyball during the week, you'll have cross country somewhere in the week. It's springtime that is it's a bear for everybody.
Well, and that's going to be one of our prime focuses is, as I retire and continue to do this part of life, that's going to be one of my prime focuses. And I'll tell you why. Golf courses would rather us play in the fall. Because
absolutely.
I mean, that's just – I'm concerned that principals are voting that down or whoever's voting that down, Mark.
Well, a lot of it – Jeff, you can correct me. You probably know more about this than I do. I see the proposal that comes through, but a lot of times the fall – this golf has been throughout history, or since I've been coaching for just, 10 or 15 years – I've been coaching. It's been going back. That was a joke, y'all. Nobody got it, but that was really kind of a joke. The proposals have always come out, but it's been one of the things that athletic directors and varsity coaches, football coaches do, is when they hire their staff or somebody they really want to get and they need a secondary sport, they hire a football coach and they get the golf program in the spring for an added supplement for them to go coach the golf kids.
Well, 100%.
And that has been forever since I've been doing this for most schools. Now, I have seen a trend over the last 10 years where there's more and more guys that are golf guys, and that's what they do is golf. And there's more. I think you'll see this trend continue, and it may be to the point one day where golf courses just say, sorry, guys, our springs are too full.
And Coach, I think you probably agree with this. When I was wrestling and Coach was coaching then, you saw a lot of your wrestling coaches in the state of Alabama were your football guys you're trying to get in. Hey, you're going to coach wrestling.
Right.
And so wrestling, that trended. Now, you see in the state of Alabama, it's a lot of pure wrestling guys.
Right.
Now.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Coach, I agree with you in that I think we'll start seeing – we are seeing that more and more in golf.
Jeff, there's a lot of speculation that Alabama and Auburn are going to jump out of Super 7.
Yeah.
Where are we on that?
We are still discussing that. Right now we're under contract with them, but we also are – everybody's aware of what's going on with the NCAA, and as soon as all of the entities that are contractually bound come together and make a decision, there will be a release on that by everybody. Alabama and Auburn are great partners of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, our member schools.
Yep.
And they both want to continue to be great partners of the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Of course, Danny Cordy and the Mobile Sports Authority would love to have us at Hancock Whitney. But there's a lot of places that we could move to. But I'm with you. I certainly want our kids.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Danny and Mobile when the events that they're hosted in the city of Mobile and at South Alabama are second to none, and they roll out the red carpet for our member schools. And I would say this to anybody listening. If you have not been down and seen the facilities in South Alabama's campus, you need to. It's a diamond in the rough. It is a gem. It's a beautiful facility, beautiful campus, and Mobile is a huge friend of our association.
You know, Jeff, we got about a minute and a half to go in this segment, so I wanted to kind of get wrapped up. Just tell us a little bit something right now that's on your heart that you kind of have seen going on throughout the athletic association in our state, and what things that we can do better.
Well, and when we have district meetings, I'll say this to anybody listening: our officials. And again, I tell people all the time to complain about officials. If you think you can do better, become an official.
Amen.
Do it. We need officials, but the treatment of officials by our coaches, our athletes, our fans it's gotten out of hand. And I think we need to look at ourselves and say, hey, these people, they're not doing it for the money because they don't make a lot of money. I would not do it. And so I think we need to see a trend and really begin to hold ourselves accountable and setting an expectation for our treatment of officials and giving them the respect they deserve. They're going to blow calls. We know that. Absolutely. They're going to. But if you're asking for something on my heart, we need to do some soul searching on how we're treating those men and women who essentially volunteer to come out here and allow our kids to play these games, because we can't have these games without them.
Jeff, that's great stuff. And thank you for taking some time out of a busy morning for you, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that. But we'll stay in touch and bless
you. Call anytime.
Take care.
Good to talk to you.
You too, have a great day. Take care, Jeff.
Bye-bye. All right.
That's Jeff Seegers, the Assistant Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And, Mark, I think at some point in time we're going to have to move golf to the fall.
It may happen.
And I think the people that vote against that aren't fully aware of all the ramifications of what we're having to go through to get golf courses to let us play.
Because junior golf's growing, folks.
That's right.
Big time.
Hey, when we return, we're going to give you a recap of the state tennis tournaments held right here in Mobile. Right here on Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. If, like me, you've had a collision in the last year and you know your car's banged up, and in my case, my truck, first person I call is Chris Garris. And when I got Chris on the phone and he and Tyler started giving me some direction, I certainly always take our vehicles and our family to Premier Collision, as does Mark and as does Randy. It's locally owned. Premier Collision is locally owned and operated right here in Mobile, Alabama. And they are your number one choice for collision repairs in Mobile and Baldwin counties. They are located over at 1177 Sledge Drive right here in Mobile. They're closed on Saturday, by the way, but Monday through Friday they're there from sunup to sundown and even after that. But you can give them a call at 251-478-4500, and you'll probably get Tyler or Kim on the line. And once you get them on the line, you have an open invitation. You come right on into the shop, and then they'll start working and doing everything they can to make your visit both friendly and family-wise. I can promise you that. They have fantastic service. They have high-quality work. And when you get your car back, as Mark learned with his Sonata.
Brand new Sonata, as my dad says.
It looks like it's right off the showroom. So that's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, and they have another location, I think, at 101 Schillinger Road, a little bit closer to some of you folks out close to the airport. But you can reach them at 251-478-4500. PSR could not give them a higher recommendation. You know, Mark, we were talking a little about the high school state tennis tournaments. All the tournaments from 1A to 7A were held right here at Mobile Tennis Center. No better facility than Mobile Tennis Center to host the state tournaments. And while we were talking about that, you know, there's always kids you're going to miss, and there's always going to be people that you just, you know, they don't, for whatever reason, you can't think of their names. Well, I wanted to go back and mention some of those winners. I know we talked about in the 1A, 3A singles, Ella Bentley from St. Luke's won the number one singles championship. Now, in tennis, we have nine individual and doubles tournaments. We have six singles tournaments, and we have three doubles tournaments. And, of course, the premier match for just people that love tennis is who's going to win number one singles in 1A, 2A, 3A, and then in 4A, 5A, and then in 6A, and then in 7A. We have a compilation of, let's see, how many tournaments we have. 1A, 3A is one, 4A, 5A is two, 6A is three, and 7A is four. So instead of having seven state tournaments, we combine 1A, 3A, and 4A, 5A, and then everybody else, 6A and 7A, has their own tournament. But congratulations to the following people because they deserve to be recognized. Ella Bentley from St. Luke's won the number one singles title for St. Luke's, and great accomplishment for that young lady. I think she's a sophomore. I think one of the big matches of the whole state tournament was in 6A, and there was a young lady named Pippa Roy from Mountain Brook who had 35 consecutive wins at number one singles. St. Paul's Emma Jane Hamilton defeated Pippa in the semifinals of the 6A state tournament and then went on to defeat Jaden Martin from Madison Academy to win the 6A girls state tournament at number one singles. Now, 35 straight matches against the teams that Mountain Brook plays is pretty impressive. We talked a little bit about UMS Wright girls and Meredy Jones. I think I'm almost positive of this. Congratulations to Meredy and the girls. They won, I think, the 16th state championship while Meredy's been the coach there. And I want those girls to be recognized. When you talk about their number one player, Sarah Ladd, she was defeated in the semifinals by the winner of the 6A state girls, I'm sorry, for the 4A, 5A state girls tennis championship by Teresa, it's hard for me to pronounce this last name, it's spelled M-O-J-S. She plays at Gulf Shores, and she defeated UMS Wright Sarah Ladd in the semifinals. And then Mose went on and defeated Russellville senior Peyton Parrish in the number one singles final. Much tougher match in the semis with Sarah than it was in the finals over the Russellville senior. She won 6-0, 6-1 to win the state championship at number one singles. But UMS Wright had multiple winners at different positions. Carol Murray was the number two state singles champion. Kate Huddle was the number three state singles champion. Andias Thompson was the number five state singles champion, and Victoria Rizik was the number six state singles champion. The number one doubles team consisting of Sarah Ladd and Carol Murray defeated Jasper in the number one doubles final. So congratulations to all those young ladies. And let me tell you this about tennis. Tennis is a sport that it's not growing like it used to. There is a huge movement for people to play pickleball. And I always say, you know, times change and pickleball is much easier sport to play than is tennis. I mean, there's not nearly as much running, but it is, and I have been convinced that it is becoming a sport that's growing. But those of us who played tennis all of our life, it's hard to replace the sound of that tennis ball with a pickleball. It really is. Just wanted to congratulate those teams. The Spanish Fort boys finished third in the 6A state tournament. Congratulations to them. St. Paul's and their coach Austin Johnson finished seventh in 6A. And see, the thing about that is Spanish Fort is a public school. St. Paul's a private school. And because of competitive balance, Mark, as it is in golf and every other sport, St. Paul's has to play up.
Correct.
And Austin Johnson, and he's got a very young team there at St. Paul's, and they will be a force to be reckoned with in the future. And they will continue probably to have to play up because that's just the rules and it's the way it is. The McGill boys finished ninth, and I think the McGill girls finished fifth. So congratulations to those teams there. And I didn't mention that in 1A, 3A, Providence Christian's boys from Dothan were state champions, and Lauderdale County girls were state champions in 1A, 3A. I do want to mention this. The Houston Academy boys, Coach William Hart, won the school's first ever AHSAA Class 4A, 5A state boys tennis championship. Now, we've played at 79 years. This is the 79th tourney, but Houston Academy has won it multiple times in simply 1A. They have always been a strong component there in high school tennis. So, you know, We've had a great week of high school tennis. Marty Smith, the director, one of the really great tournament directors, has stepped down, retiring, and the sport of tennis is really going to miss Marty Smith, I can tell you that. So.
You know, we got about 30 seconds left in this segment, but right now going on, you got outdoor track sectionals coming up, or going on actually today, I think. You've got softball playoffs getting started. Right. Baseball's already in the second round of playoffs. Had some great games last night. I got a couple of finish outs today to finish out the deal. Golf starts sectionals tomorrow. Soccer starts their first round, I think, Tuesday. And so as we come, we're getting toward that part of the year where everything gets really exciting. But we'll be back in a minute. We'll talk about some Mobile Sports Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that'll be neat. Be right back with more Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Grinning.
I ain't commenting on that.
Yeah, I know how you guys are. The two of y'all always on me about something.
This is a great song.
It is a great song.
It's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Something's wrong.
I got that. You know, I got those little Amazon Music on my phone.
Yeah.
So I can hook it into my Bluetooth when I'm riding.
Yep.
And I can play the. Well, of course, Bob Skaggs, Steely Dan, they're on there, and some other ones. You know how I listened to the other day?
Yeah, I know. You got some hard rock on there,
well,
too.
Well, there is a little bit. Ben Thomas would be proud of
Ben
me.
Ben Thomas proud of
you know,
me.
I was a Kiss man back when I was younger. But I know a guy who I really loved listening to was James Taylor.
Absolutely.
Man, you talk about a guy who can just flat play the guitar and sing. That dude's awesome. He's good.
You think Carly was talking about him in her song?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Steve Stanley says no, so I know this not it wasn't James Taylor.
That's exactly what she was talking about.
Well, you're the one song. What was that one song? His wife was killed in a tragic plane accident.
She was.
And
right.
He came the next day. He was so distraught. He was out on his porch.
He wrote a song.
And I heard him sing it the other night. Yeah. At a concert not long afterwards, and he could barely hold it together as he got through the song. What's the name of that song? I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
That's one of his songs. I don't know if he wrote that right after she passed away, but
I don't remember. But that was a great song, James Taylor.
Yeah, he's
another one from the past.
Yeah, he is with the past. He is, but he's an amazing, amazing thing. You know, Mark, we're going to get to the Mobile Hall of Fame, but we got to get to the elephant in the room for just a minute. We're going to have a new executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and that is a tremendous responsibility. And it's got to be someone who has no fear of litigation, and because that's part of it.
You're going to get sued.
You're going to get sued. Every time you make a decision, just about, you're going to get sued. So every day they have to deal with that. And the directors we've had in the past have done an amazing job with that. And so as we move forward, there's going to have to be some really, really, really tough decisions made by the Central Board of Control as they elect a new executive director. I personally think it's got to be someone who's got superintendent by his name or her name, who's a former coach, who's got the ability to walk in a room with football coaches and say, guys, this is something we're not going to be doing anymore. He's got to walk in a basketball coaches meeting and say, guys and gals, we're not going to do this anymore. And that person has got to have the utmost respect from every segment of coaches in the state. And I don't know who that is. I really don't know who it is. And it's something that you and I have been close to just about every one of them, yes, from Bubba Scott on. And the job is a 24-hour-a-day job. It never stops.
And it's 365 days a year.
Never stops.
Never ends.
It's something that it's unimaginable what these executive directors have to go through and their staff. So I hope that as we go through this process, we keep an open mind and we get the very best qualified person to become the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, because the kids deserve that. The kids deserve that more than anybody.
I agree.
That's where we need to go.
I agree.
Let's talk a little bit about the Mobile Hall of Fame, Mark.
Well, it's quite a list.
Yeah.
There's some outstanding people on this list going into this year that I saw come out, and Joe Gottfried.
Man, I'm so excited for Joe Gottfried. He's, when you look at Joe Gottfried and his tenure as the athletic director at the University of South Alabama. You talk about a guy who served as athletic director there, I think, from 1981 to 2007. That's 26 years as an athletic director. 13 Sunbelt overall sports championships. The renovation of Stanky Field. The building of the Mitchell Center. The launch of USA's football program. I mean, golly, what a tremendous, tremendous job he did. And, while he was a great athletic director, he's an even better man.
Yeah.
I just love spending time with Joe Gottfried and his wisdom and the way he deals with people. And it's a wonderful, wonderful example to those of us who have watched and learned not only from his wisdom, but from his faith and from the way that he treats everybody he meets.
You're right. I'm so thrilled for him. And he just – I can't even – add to anything you said. Joe Gottfried, yeah. Great, great. Congratulations.
Very deserving.
Kelly Ogden Hillier,
yep.
Volleyball coach, is being inducted. Coach, you know a little bit more about Kelly than I do, but she's just a wonderful person. The time that I met her once, several years back, wonderful coach.
Well, Kelly was a standout player at St. Paul's. She earned all SEC honors and honorable mention All-American honors at Georgia. She set all kind of Bulldog single-season records there. She returned to her school at St. Paul as a coach there. She won more than 600 games and also 7 state championships. And if I'm not mistaken, Kelly at one time even coached tennis at St. Paul's and did a great job. And if I'm not mistaken, it may have been when our buddy Sandy Santoli, who, golly, don't we miss him during the springtime. I miss him all year long because it was never days that I didn't get a phone call from Sandy and we just talked about everything. But she was a tremendous, tremendous asset to her school, not only as a player but as a coach. And the legacy she left there is, I don't know, it'll ever be broken.
Probably not. An all-star guy in our book from my book, not only on the playing field, but off the playing field, Captain Munnerlin from Murphy High School.
Yeah, Munnerlin, not only was a football star, he was a track star at Murphy High School. He was an All-SEC performer at South Carolina, and he played for the ball coach. Played in over 150 NFL games with Carolina Panthers, also with Minnesota. Played 9 years there, from 2009 to 2018. He intercepted 12 passes, scored 6 touchdowns, very deserving, and one of the greats from Murphy High School.
I remember we played them in the playoffs one night, and they had beaten us, and here comes Captain Munnell across the field.
Yep.
You know, he got his helmet off, looks me in the eye, shakes my hand, says, "Great game, Coach. Congratulations on your season."
Yeah.
I was like, what a fine young man. He didn't have to do that.
No.
You know, so just really – thrilled about that young man being inducted. And a guy we both know, you know better than I do a little bit, Patrick White from Daphne High School.
Yeah, Pat White was a tremendous high school athlete. A lot of people know him as a football player. Many of us consider him to be one of the premier baseball players to ever play at Daphne High School and in the state of Alabama. He was Mr. Baseball in Alabama. But he decided to play football at West Virginia. I get tickled every time I think about it. Ricky Trickett was the guy that was recruiting him at West Virginia, and boy, he did a great job. He made Pat know that he was wanted, and of course, Rich Rodriguez was the head coach there at the time. Pat became a four-year starter at West Virginia, one of the winningest quarterbacks in college football history. I've had a lot of people tell me, we play golf with a dear buddy of ours at Quail Creek, and he says, heck, Pat White could have run for governor of West Virginia and won in a landslide. One of the most popular and well-liked young men that you'll ever be around if you're a West Virginian. And I can tell you this, he could throw a football. He could run a football. He had no fear. A lot of people said Pat didn't like to get hit. He was smart.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get hit because, heck, he wanted to be in the game. And anytime you got a shot at a quarterback, you're going to try to take him out.
I can tell you right now, I had to coach against him.
Yep.
And that's back when the zone read was just getting started.
No, you're in trouble.
Holy cow. He ran it. They ran it one time, and I'll never forget, we blew the back up. I mean, I was like, yeah. And then I look up, and there's Pat White running down the field like he's out to practice early. There's not a soul around him. Yeah. He goes 60 for a touchdown. And I was like, after the ball game, I just had to tell him, hey, you're a great football player.
You know, one of the great things, he was the MVP in the Senior Bowl in 2009. He was a second-round draft choice and played with the Miami Dolphins. He later played in the CFL. He was an assistant coach with the Los Angeles Chargers, but now that Mr. Harbaugh has taken over, I would imagine that entire staff is looking for a job.
Yeah.
It won't take Pat White 5 minutes to find another job, I can promise you that.
The last person being inducted, and certainly not the least, is Carvell Bama Rowell from Citronelle.
Yeah, he played college football at LSU, and then he embarked on a career in professional baseball. After his third year with the Boston Braves, he served 4 years in the military during World War II. He did return to baseball after the war. He was a lifetime 275 hitter. We lost Mr. Rowell in 1993. And, boy, I'm telling you right now, people in Citronelle are mighty proud of that name, Rowell. And absolutely. I think Jeremy Rowell, who's coach there, I think that's a relative of his.
I think so.
Yeah. This is the first Mobile Sports Hall of Fame class since the pandemic. So,
is it?
Thank goodness. We're glad to get
that's
them there.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to all those guys and your contribution, not only – on the athletic field, but what you did in the lives of other people throughout your life and continuing to do so. And we look forward to catching up with some of y'all soon. Going to come back, Coach?
That event, thing, by the way, is going to take place May the 30th at the Mitchell Center.
Yeah.
They're partnering with First Light Community, combining its induction ceremonies with the latter organization's annual football preview, which Coach Saban's been a part of for several years.
You're right.
Hey, we'll be right back with more right here with the Camp Grace segment with Coach Mark Lassiter. You don't want to miss that. I can promise you that.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning we're going to talk a little bit about what it means for me when I pray or and I ask God for something. I can remember as a little kid asking my dad one time. I was 15 years old, and I was working for this guy on a Little Debbie snack cake truck route. and I was his assistant. We started on Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. And I got home at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. It was the longest day of my life. But I can remember coming home one night, and I go, Dad, if I just wanted to ask God, you know, if prayer is effective, can I have, you know, $1,000? You know, can I get it? You think I could get $1,000? And I remember Dad said this to me. He looked at me and said, Mark, God's already doing that for you. I said, how? I said, I just want $1,000. He goes, well, you worked Saturday, didn't you? I said, yeah. He goes, how much money did you make? I said, $35. And he goes, well, if you do that enough times, you're going to have $1,000. I was not very happy with my dad at that moment. But he was so right. But this morning, I got a clip from, I think I mentioned it last week, about Morgan Freeman and the movie Evan Almighty. There was something I wanted y'all to hear because it means it's really cool. And it's a little scene where he's talking to Evan Almighty, who's been instructed by God to build the ark in modern times. And so Morgan Freeman's talking to his wife. So Steve's going to turn that on for us, and we'll listen to this clip. And
excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No. It's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah and the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
I guess my dad could have been a part of that clip because that's what he was talking about back then, all those days ago. It's real simple. When we ask for things, we may not get what we're asking for in the way we think we're going to get it. But it comes to us in a way that we need it. When I ask for patience, God's going to give me the opportunity to be patient, whatever that may be. And when I ask for courage, he's going to give me the opportunity to be courageous in some way, shape, or form. And those are the things that I've got to learn to turn inward and make a part of my life every single day that I live. And if I can't do that, then, man, I'm missing the ark or the boat, so to speak, because they were talking about, I'm missing it. I'm not getting it right. I love that story. I love the way, first of all, I love Morgan Freeman, the way he talks, and just hearing him deliver it. When he delivers a line, I mean, it's, you can't help but hear it. And I heard it loud and clear. When I first watched the movie, I was just watching it because it was so funny. But when I saw this clip the other night on YouTube, I was like, man, that's pretty powerful. I want to share that because, you know, it's just something to me, Rick, that we can do this in our daily life. I mean, you're dealing with it right now.
Yeah.
We're all dealing with it in some way, shape, or form. But courage, patience, God has given us opportunities to do that.
You know, Mark, if you go to the end of that movie and I probably watched it a couple of times. So I'm scared to tell you how many times I've watched it. But At the end of that movie, God reminds Evan, if you remember, he promised him he would change the world. And how do we change the world? It's by doing random acts of kindness.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't want to get – I do want to get biblical, but I'm not. But, you know, by us loving other people and treating other people kind that don't know a lot of kindness in their own life, in their own heart, and love in their own life, in their own heart, makes a difference. And, you know, as we embark on the rest of our life, I think that's a great movie to watch because that is very indicative of what love and kindness is all about. Yeah. So that's a great, great, great segue into this week, Mark. Folks, I ask you to pray for my mom and our family.
Yes.
It's a tough time for us, but at the same time, we know that there's a coming home in the future. And so appreciate those prayers. And for everyone that it goes through these situations where we see the end of life. And so for Mark, thank you for being here. Thank you for your words of wisdom. Steve, thank you for being here. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time, next week.